Turn back to chapter 2, verse 12, because I want to go into this period that spawns paganism. And for the next few minutes tonight, I want to just talk about the background to how paganism came into the church. Verse 12 of chapter 2 of Revelation says, "To the angel of the church at Pergamos write," and this assembly, Pergamos, the word actually means a mixed marriage. It's a funny word. Pergamos means an unusual joining together. And actually, Pergamos is a time in church history, this Pergamite period, where paganism entered Christ's church. We know that from history. It's the time of Constantine, 313 AD, the legalization of Christianity. But this assembly pictures that. Historically, as John wrote this, in 95 AD, Pergamos was a very old city. And religiously, it was a sacred city to the pagans. This was the home of Bacchus. You ever heard of Bacchus, the god of wine and revelry and drinking? This was where he was from. And that's where they worshipped Bacchus. Zeus was worshipped there. The largest and one of the great wonders of the ancient world was the altar of Zeus that extended out. It was cantilevered out 40 feet out over the great abyss that was down the mountain. And there on that platform, built out over nothingness with cantilever engineering, was a huge altar to Zeus so that nothing was underneath it. And they would just send off the offerings to this false god from this place in Pergamos. It was a real idolatrous place. The worship of Aesculapius, the god of healing, represented. You ever go into a doctor's office, you see the pole with snakes going around it? That's the symbol for him. And that was where he was worshipped. And by the way, you could come to this city and lay on the ground at night and they'd let snakes crawl over you and it would supposedly heal you if you didn't have a heart attack, right? But you notice what it says in verse 12. It says it was the place where, look at the end of verse 13 actually, where Satan dwells. Actually, at that time, at that point in history, in 95 AD, through the worship of Bacchus, orgies, revelry, drunkenness, through the worship of Zeus, the king of the gods and all that stuff, and through the worship of Aesculapius, false healing and snakes and all that, there was so much adoration for these false gods that Satan actually had his center, his outpost, where he permeates earth with his evil, actually in that city at that time. His throne was there, and the Lord points that out. He happened to be running his global operations at that time out of that city. As Ephesians 6 talks about thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers, that's where Satan was headed. So this place where we see this period of history was a time when immorality and idolatry and false healing and Satanism was attacking the church. Now, how did that happen in the church? Well, listen to this. The Ephesian period was a decline of fervor. The Smyrna period was a time when the church began to get formal. The Pergamite period was a time when the true faith of Christ became mixed, joined with paganism. This period is the period that historically portrays the era when the true, holy, Catholic Church that Jesus started, Catholic meaning universal, unites with the pagan, Roman, dark, idolatrous, Satan-infested, all of religion comes together and begins to walk side by side with the true Church of Christ right here. And I want to describe that for you just briefly. The Scriptures tell us that this is the time when, and if you want to look at verse 14, "I have a few things against you," Revelation 2:14. "You have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam." What is Balaam? Well, if you remember anything about this, Balaam was the one who allowed people to live in immorality. Balaam, remember, he was called in Numbers 22:24 up, and he was supposed to curse Israel. And instead of cursing Israel, God made him bless Israel. And so the Moabite king says, "What can we do?" And he says, "Well, you can't curse them directly, but what you can do is, you can, if you can't beat them, join them." He says, "Send the women of Moab down with all their idolatrous worship and have them bring it into, immorally, into the camp of Israel, and God will kill them. And you don't have to." And that's what Balaam did. That's what Balaamism is. It's this compromising of Christians, allowing them to live in sin and evoke the wrath of God. Secondly, he says also, you have those in verse 15 who have the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Now, what is Nicolaitans? Well, two words in Greek. Nike, as in shoes, Nike shoes, and Laos. Nikao means to conquer, and Laos means people. So it's when the people get conquered, conquered people. And this speaks of people lording over the church, self-made prophets who rule institutions, the church with rods of iron, who build ecclesiastical kingdoms of wealth and power. And by the way, that's what's still with us today. Religion has spawned more greed, wealth, and power than anything else.